Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
My expertise gives them the strategy, but the coaching piece is definitely that blueprint. My first pivot was actually the hardest and the largest one. When I went into the military, I was leaving an abusive marriage. I had three young girls, and it was survival. The Lord's voice. He took care of me here. He took care of me here. He's going to take care of me over here. If you get a coach, look for transformation. Any good coach will allow you to leverage their experience and their resources. Fail fast and you're quicker to get to success.
Thank you, Shonda, for coming on to the Faye's Knowledge podcast. I just got one question for you. Why Shonda? Oh.
Why not? There's a bit of a journey there, but why Shonda Coe? I basically realized that I wanted to help people achieve the same balance and success of creating a business and a life for the season that they're in. And so my ideal client is women over 40 who are ready to pivot or transition into something for themselves. And so I help them create meaningful, purposeful businesses and lives that fit around their life and not vice versa.
You're very specific when it comes to the ideal customer that you want to serve. Like, how was it getting to that point?
It didn't take me long. Initially, I was like, everyone needs a strategy, right? So my background is program and project management and Lean Six Sigma Black Belt, which is systems, right? And managing different things. And I saw it like, okay, I'll just tell people to do a strategy. And honestly, I've worked with some men and it wasn't bad, but I feel like I resonate better with females because I am they and they are me, right? And so all that I've been through is more relatable. And so it makes it easier to work with them from an understanding perspective and from a transformation perspective, because they have, I think it's important for your clients to kind of not just know what they want, but also see what they want, because yeah. And so you mirror that for them.
I was doing research on you, and mind you, I was doing a lot of research and I was reading everything that you've accomplished, that you achieved. I was like, wow, you are incredible. But the fact that you just mentioned something about representation, like a lot of people don't understand the importance of representation, but you understood that early on. Did you see the impact that it made when you was representing the client that you wanted to work with?
I do see the impact and I hear the impact because we have conversations and I'm very open about my life and how I live my life and all the things that I believe. And so we have this initially it's an introduction, but over time it becomes a relationship and we exchange information. And so they're like, oh my God, that is so amazing. Like, you inspire me, or I want to be like that, or I want to do those things. And so they're getting the real deal in the sense of I'm walking them through the process of how I live my life and how to have the same thing. And so my life is almost a blueprint of sorts. My expertise gives them the strategy, but the coaching piece is definitely that blueprint.
When I got into business a half a decade ago, when I started my podcast a half a decade ago, I didn't know it was called business. And like you, well, I served in Marine Corps. I know you served in the Navy.
I did.
Okay, thank you for your service.
Likewise.
Appreciate your support. I appreciate it. And when I started to like really like understand more about business, a year or two later, it's like, well, you can't serve everybody. Because at the time I was in social media and I'm thinking, if you got a business, everybody needs social media. However, everybody might not have the means behind it, might not have the funding behind it, or they might not just see the importance behind social media. Yeah. For you to actually narrow down your audience, you knew automatically that this is the customer I would like to serve. And now you are able to serve so many customers because you're focused on one customer.
Yeah.
My question is, I know that you're data driven. I know program management, project management, you're very data driven. How does narrowing down your audience help you become more data driven?
Because I think it allows you to actually identify if you have, like we talked about my ideal client, but there's also an ideal client persona, right? And so if I start talking about my client, I can tell you about their desires, their objections, their needs, their fears, because I'm looking at a particular person in the sense of, as I begin to describe her, you can say, oh, okay, I can almost see her come to life. And so with that ability, it allows me to be more specific in my messaging and who I'm messaging my offers to, but also who I'm repelling in my messaging. Does that make sense?
That make a lot of sense. Okay, so how long did you serve in the Navy?
10 years.
10 years, okay. Because you mentioned the word transitioning and really getting into business. You know, like me, like both of us, we had to transition into service and then right out the service and understand like, well, everything is not going to be as easy because now you got to figure out everything. How did you figure out that you want to get into business when you left the Navy?
It wasn't so, it wasn't right away. I think one of the things that we discount, and I say this often, is we should be taught to see ourselves as human capital in the sense that I've had a lot of pivots, okay? And all of them have given me tools for my toolbox. And so even though I went into the military, from military, I went into corporate, and then I did civil servant, and then I went back into corporate, but I did it as a government contractor for myself. And so even in that, I experienced a loss, and that actually brought me into coaching from my nonprofit. And that's why I say I had quite the journey. But when you think of it from that perspective, it's like, I didn't just jump into entrepreneurship. It was a few milestones, major milestones and major pivots that happened over time that shifted me and changed me. And I evolved over time to become this person and say, okay, this is the direction I want to go. And even when I went that direction in government contracting, it was like, I'm doing the thing I said I wanted to do, but something is missing. And it's like, what does that look like? And so because of that major loss I had, I lost my brother. I began to ask myself, if I leave this earth today, am I happy with my impact in the life I lived? And so that turned me again from entrepreneurship into nonprofit space, into entrepreneurship again in the coaching space. And so it wasn't like, I can't say it was, oh my God, I'm going to go from the military to this. It was like, I was in the military. I got these particular tools in that structure. Okay, I'm going, I have a different need. I'm pivoting. I'm going into corporate. I got a different set of tools in this space. Wait a minute. Strategy for me was, let me go to the civil servant and buy back my military time just in case this all doesn't work out. Okay. So that's why I did that. But then I was like, okay, now I'm going to jump into entrepreneurship because the government has plenty of money. And so it wasn't like, oh, I'm in the military. Oh, I'm going to do entrepreneurship. It was like, no. Minor shifts that happened that kind of put my mind in that space, if that makes any sense. Then I hope I answer your question, even though it was kind of over, you know.
You're absolutely fine. Do not feel rushed to answer the question. I'm listening. I'm literally engaged with the conversation. So don't feel rushed. Whatever story and time frame comes to answer that question, that's how you answer that question. So I'm not going to rush it. I'm just going to, if you want to answer one question for a whole hour, I'm just going to listen to you.
I promise I won't do that.
So nonetheless, I'm sending my condolences to your loss of your brother. I know that was hard. And yes, for you to understand more about what you would like to do, there's a journey. And the reason why I asked that question is because you said a key word, pivot. And I'm thinking, since I'm on my entrepreneurship journey, like I mentioned last week, I believe we had a call. I'm in this entrepreneurship program, and I'm in school for business management, and I've been in like different programs to learn about entrepreneurship. And I've had to pivot so many different times. It gets so overwhelming because I have to keep pivoting. But then the pivoting is helping me grow. It's helping me learn that some things you probably can't do. However, you're not going to get to where you are here today if you're not pivoting. Here's the question. How did you get comfortable with changing everything that you was doing?
I think with every pivot, you learn to trust yourself. And I think every successful entrepreneur develops a level of self-trust. And I think that's so key. I don't know who said it, but somebody said it. So I don't want to steal their words, but it said fail fast, right? And I think another thing that I was listening to a podcast with Cody Sanchez, and she was basically rattling off all the things that billionaires have in common. And she said one of the things they do is they don't wait. They move quickly. And so pivoting is what we do. What I describe as very hard pivots, but I think on a day-to-day basis as an entrepreneur, because we are creatives, innovative, you know, I have a logical side of my brain, but I have a very creative side. And so it does require us to see, like, if there is a shift that's required or change is necessary, we don't have all day to contemplate. We have to do it quickly. And so it may seem like we're constantly streamlining and refining and re-baselining. And it's like, okay, when will this get right? But I don't think it ever does, because times are changing. So like, we just left the information age where there's so much information, to now we're in the AI age and we're going into robotics. And it's like, you have to shift during those times or you will be irrelevant, right? Obsolete. And I just think that's necessary. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it can be a little difficult sometimes if you don't manage it. But I think that's where project management and I come into play. For sure.
When you said something about fail fast, I read this military book. It was called Failure is Not an Option. Mm-hmm. And they talked about like the challenges that whenever you on a mission together, it's okay to fail, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay in failure.
Exactly.
Throughout the whole book, I was just like, wow, they really have. I think it was around Navy SEALs or MARSOC, one of those. However, changing fast helps you understand that you're not just failing, you're really growing, you're learning, you're developing. So now that we talk about failure, what was your biggest failure and why didn't you let that stop you?
The one I just mentioned was actually my biggest failure. It was being successful on paper and realizing that you are not fulfilled, realizing that something is missing, that you're misaligned, and what you're doing is actually not sustainable, right? And so you're in hustle mode, you're making the money, you got the titles, you got the house, all these things. And it's like, okay, but what about me? What about the part that feeds me? What about, you know, this being sustainable, you know? And then being okay with saying, I'm going to step back from that and step out of that and say, now let's apply all this stuff that you designed for these other people. Let's bring it into your own life and see what that looks like, right? And that was my journey. And so it was being able to actually be self-aware and reflective, but also to acknowledge my failure in that and be okay with that next pivot, not knowing fully what that's going to look like, but trusting yourself enough to do it, right? For sure.
And I like how you are. The reason why I asked the question about the biggest failure is because, of course, people see you today. They see your success today. They see your accomplishments today. They see your 8 degrees today. I forgot about that one. Nonetheless, but then they don't understand that every successful moment that you have, there's a journey. There's a process. There's moments when you're like, is this going to work? Am I doing the right thing? Is this actually going to pay off in the future? Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know that. But yeah. you have to be okay with learning how to trust yourself. When you started to trust yourself, how did you see the importance of pivoting for yourself or just for yourself to be in business?
So my first pivot was actually like the hardest and the largest one. When I went into the military, I was leaving an abusive marriage. I had 3 young girls and it was survival, right? And so it was me knowing that I had to change our situation for us to be safe and doing something that would provide stability for us in that moment. My next pivot was me leaving the military and the safety net of it, right? Because it gave me the stability that I needed for 10 years. And it was time for me to do an independent employment, IA, where I would have to deploy overseas away from my babies. And I decided to bet on us. And I remember everybody telling me, like, you're getting out, you're not going to find a job, like, this is, you shouldn't do that, like, you should just, you're at the halfway point, you should just stick it out. And I chose to better my children, right? I chose to be there for them. And so I pivoted and got out and actually got a consultant position with Deloitte. And I don't know if you know who Deloitte is, but they're like the top three, right, of consulting companies, like really big. Everything they told me I wasn't going to get, I got, right? Yeah, I got a really good job, really good position, corporate benefits, but I was home with my babies. And so what you learn in every pivot, for my initial one, my situation was so bad that I needed to do something that was a little crazy to make sure we was okay. And so it was survival over what, like, the military can't be as bad as this, if that makes any sense. And so I was okay with it. And so the next one, it was, I don't know what's on the other side of being up, you know, out of the military, but I know I need to be here with my babies. And so I got out of the military to be more present with them, and it all worked out. And so each major pivot, right, it created a new level of trust. So when I got to the point where I was going into entrepreneurship, there was something in me that allowed me to trust that voice. And I'm a person of faith. I don't hide that. And so I don't say it was my voice per se. It was the Lord's voice. But in all those situations, it was like, okay, he took care of me here. He took care of me here. He's going to take care of me over here. Like, to look where I came from to where I am is like, it's a no brainer. This is easy work for him compared to that. You know what I'm saying? So, so for sure, there was a level of self-trust that was built. But for me, it was like, look how far you've come. Look at these other things that you've come out of, these other pivots. This is easy. Like, you can do this. Does that make sense? Context is, I was a high school dropout. I got a GED. I came from very humble beginnings, right? Projects, low-income housing, to abusive marriage. Then I was a single mom. Then I got the degrees. I had the career. Like, I built from so many levels. By the time I got to the point of entrepreneurship, it was like, not that I thought I could walk on water or fly, but it was like, okay, girl, you got this. Like, you've come through these levels. It felt like the right thing to do. It wasn't as hard as some people, as it is with some people, not to discredit what they're feeling.
And I definitely understand what you're saying, because it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I was raised by a single mom, raised three boys by herself. And then as I get older, I wonder, how did you do that? How did you provide for your boys? How did you provide for yourself? How did you provide for the house? How did you work? How did you go to school? Because like I mentioned earlier, not earlier, but last week, that my mama has 9 different degrees. That's a lot of school. That's a lot of classes. Then you have 3 boys together. I'm still applying. Like, how do you know how to, like, survive? And I asked them, I'm like, why did you do that? Like, how were you able to do that? She was like, son, I had no choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
It has to work. What has to work. For sure.
It has to work. Oh, it has to work.
Yeah.
You find a way to make your situation, your pivot, work in your favor. And so when you go into entrepreneurship, she was like, well, you already have the tools, but Nina, you already have the education.
Yeah.
You already have the experience. You already have the know-how. Now it's the implementation.
Yes.
Now it's the implementation. Now when you apply the information, it's like, well, where do I start?
Yeah.
So how did you start getting to entrepreneurship? I get it, like you was pivoted into entrepreneurship, but how did you know that the tools and experience that you have, you can literally start doing something for your business?
Government contracting, I felt it was easy because I had did it before. I just like, okay, I'll do it for myself, right? The nonprofit space, when I shifted into that, I was driven by the pain and passion of losing my brother and wanting to serve families who would be in similar situations, wanted to keep them from having to experience it or those type of things. And so that's what drove me in that particular space. In this space, I will say this is probably the hardest one, only because I felt like I had to, it was almost like an incubator master program, because everything that's needed in this space was not needed in corporate or not needed in government contracting, right? The way you market yourself was completely different. I did not have a need for social media or anyone to a personal brand. I didn't need any of that stuff. And I was still able to achieve a level of success. And so implementation on this side was me getting into other coaching programs and seeing what the space is like and finding out, you know, what everybody has to say about, you know, what this process looked like, because I'm a process person. So I'm like, okay, teach me the system, right? And realizing that there are some good coaches, but there's some not good coaches. There's good information, but there's not good information. And in corporate spaces, my resume speaks for itself. My experience speaks for itself, right? In this space, the first thing someone wants to do is Google me. And so that is a huge difference, I will admit, for sure. Implementation on this side was learning the process, learning what the landscape looks like, and being honest with myself. I'm an introvert by nature. Being honest with myself if I was actually going to show up to do the thing. And what I came to the conclusion was, there are people who need what I have. And the only way they're going to find me is if I show up. And so here I am, for sure. And so every good coach has a coach. I try to stay in rooms and under the tutelage of people that I trust, that I align with me and my values and knowledge base, right? And so that's been my implementation for sure. Like anything else, it has its good days and bad days because I'm human, but I am sold on the freedoms of entrepreneurship in the sense of I do this to be free, not to be bound. And so I have strong boundaries. And I think that's also key in entrepreneurship for sure.
That's what I'm learning as well. Because you mentioned something about Cody Sanchez. Was that video like 7 to 10 minutes?
It might have been. It was one of her recent ones. Yeah.
I watched the same one. And then I had watched the video with Myron Goni. He was like, a mentor who does not have a mentor is not my mentor. Mm. When he said that, I'm like,
for sure.
That's true. That's true. That because, like you mentioned, there's good information, there's bad information. But then trying to understand and decipher between good information and bad information, you have to see what the other people are doing. And not only just doing, but how are they operating their business? What are they talking about? How are they talking to their team? I went to this 10X thing back in 2022. Mm-hmm. And a dude named Pete Barbies, he was giving his presentation. And he kept saying, this is the system that we use for our business. And I'm like, I think I want that system too, because I think I'm successful. So I'll pay for not knowing, well, you have to develop your own system. Mm-hmm. You have to develop your own work. You have to develop your own personal brand. Yes, you can be in different rooms and have different ideas.
Yeah.
Apply that to your own business is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I commend you for finding out how to put the pieces together and still putting the pieces together. So I commend you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, so I did a 1,000-piece puzzle, and like business, you have to put the pieces together.
Mm.
You're data driven. You have project management, you have programming, you have this side. How do you integrate both the creative side and the data side for your business?
I won't say that. I was going to say, I don't think you can separate them, but people do it all the time. I think people focus on the side that they think people want. But I think it takes both sides. For instance, when I said earlier, initially I thought I was going to come into this space as an introvert. I was going to show up. I was going to be professional. We're going to talk about your business goals. And I was going to help you map out a plan of action and milestones. And then I would just let you check in with me to execute. So you have any questions, I can kind of walk you out, you know, walk that out with you. And I'm like, that works because it works with my expertise. But then I realized that if a person does not have the mindset, then they're not going to be able to do the strategy, right? And so it's really helping them show up in those spaces. And that requires the emotional, creative, innovative side of me, right? And so I can go into a call and I can be empathetic about a person's bad day. But then, okay, after that, let's talk about how we're going to fix it, right? Let's talk about the tools that you need in order to come out of that. And so it is being okay with showing up as your full authentic self, for sure. my survival mode early on in life gave me the ability to be logical. I had to, in order to fix my situation, right? So I was logical, I was rational, and I was showing up in that way. But when I had that aha moment and that breakthrough when I lost my brother, that shifted me to say, are you happy with your life and where it's going? It's like, okay, what next? And so I started to focus on self-awareness, right? And doing the work, personal development for myself to say, who are you? Like, what is this about you? Do you like this? You don't like it? And if not, what are you going to do to change it? And I find that a lot of people are not doing that work. And so when I'm having these conversations, it is literally giving them the same blueprint, right? Like, this is what I did when I was in this space. One of the things I did when I had that epitome, a little bit before I had that epitome, is I wrote a book, right? Always been big on legacy, right? And the first book I wrote by mistake. The second book I was intentional about. I just wanted something printed with notes in it so I could just pass it out, right? My daughter went online and was like, my mom wrote a book. Oh, I'm so happy. And I was like, no, don't buy that book. It's like, not a good book. But then it brought me to a place where I had a thought. And the thought was, if we all pass away, then I want my children to be printed. When you think of legacy, it's movies, it's literature, right? It is sports. So you're famous and people remember you because you were so amazing. Things like that. And so it's like, okay, I probably won't be in a movie. I'm not going to go back and do sports, right? So how can I make our mark in the world to where when we leave here, there's something with our names on it? So I had everybody next to me write in this book. Ironically enough, I use the book all the time with my clients because it's talking about showing up as yourself, being yourself. How are you going to achieve your goals? And how did all the questions that you should be asking yourself on a regular basis, not just in your business, but in your life. And I realize a lot of people don't have that. Not only do they not have it, they don't have the mindset or they don't have the support. But it's so needed if you're going to actually achieve success in business, because statistic I always quote is that you're 65% more likely to achieve a goal if you tell somebody about it. You're 95% more likely to achieve that same goal if you're checking in with somebody on a regular basis. And so it's so important to have community and support, right? And accountability. But marrying the two is, it's all God. It's like, that's a cop out, but no, it's not, because I think he gives us insight into all things. So not just the logical, here's a great skill, here's what you're good at, but also the things that you're like, okay, how do I become a better person? And he shines a light on it. And how do I develop this skill set or this mindset? And he shines a light on it. And then you run into people and they're going through similar things. And you're like, oh, I already did that. Let me show you what I did. And so you marry the two for sure. I don't know.
It makes a lot of sense. And one thing I always say is that God is always with us.
Oh, yeah.
Do our part. I showed up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Challenge yourself. That is the challenge yourself. So what we're going to do now is go off script. And so okay. Now that we're going off script, I'm gonna ask you three tips or three strategies for someone that's getting into business. Or one of the three things that you can, or three tips that you advise me to do. Like, if I was coming to you, like Charles Shonda, did I say right, Shonda?
Shonda.
I'm getting close. Okay. So if I come to you and say, hey, I want to start my business, I want to get into business, what are three things that you can advise me to do today?
For someone that's come to me for business who does not quite know what they want to do, I normally take them through my compass clarity framework. And that is asking five questions and to grade them, and whatever has the highest one to lean into that. Okay. And so I'm going to just give you those five questions really quickly, because why not? First things first, are you passionate about it? Second thing is, are you good at it? Third thing is, what problem does it solve? Or does it solve a problem? The fourth thing is, will people pay for it? And the final thing is, does it fit the season of your life?
I ran her dad's site. I'm beat him. what problem are you solving them for? Was what again?
Will people pay for it?
Pay.
Does it fit the season of your life? For number five, most people have the most questions about that one. And simply stating, as a mom with five adult children, right? I have two aging parents. I have four grandchildren. I like to travel. I cannot create something that I don't have capacity for. So you can have an amazing idea. You might actually be good at it. People may be willing to pay for it. But if it does not fit the season of your life, it's going to be a struggle. You're going to say, I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. I don't have time. I'm at capacity. I can't get nothing done. I can't get caught up. And you're going to start feeling away about it. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. It's because it's out of season.
You hold on. You learned that throughout your using the nonprofit space. You had to identify, does it fit your season a lot?
Well, I learned it along the way, for sure. For sure.
Okay, so just to go with the question, so you're taking through, like, let's just say a discovery call, just to make sure you all are a great fit, and you were asking, are you passionate about that?
Well, this is something I give away in a quick webinar, with a quick conversation. If you're actually working with me, you get a 50-question survey, and that tells me exactly where you are in your business. It tells me your limiting beliefs. It gives me a clue about your business acumen. So I have a nice snapshot of you and your business by the time we sit down to go over your discovery survey, for sure. So what I just gave you is something really quick that I give to people when I'm doing webinars or quick challenges, and they're like, oh, I have all these ideas. I really don't know what I want to do. And it's like, oh, okay, well, let's just go ahead and fix that. What do you get? Think about your top 3 to 5. And for those, I want you to measure them 1 to 5. And so let's go through the questions. And so write down at the top of the paper. And so I'm walking them through it. Write down at the top of the paper, the different things that you want to do, the top 3 to 5, right? And each question, I just want you to write the number. 1 at the lowest, 5 at the highest. And the one that scores the highest, that'll be the one to consider. If you tie on one, then we can think, you know, talk through those two. But that's the process, for sure.
And for one, I can tell you didn't read that through a book, although you already wrote 2 books. You didn't read it through a book, but you have to really go through the process of understanding your business, recognize the patterns, and then apply the patterns to, like, questionnaires to raise the things of the nature. Yeah. So, like, you're very strategic. That was good.
Thanks.
Okay. So, because Pete, I'm pretty sure people come to you more often. And like, when you do that, were you able to streamline this process a lot faster because you're able to do this? Or because you're able to put systems in place to make you do it more consistently?
For sure. Systems, I think, are key to everything success. I think of everything as a system. But yes, when you are able to clearly identify your ideal client, men tend to have 1 to 2 ideas, no more than 3. Women will have 20. We're not working on 20 things. We're not. And so I'm really big on, what's your one focus for the week? And then what are your milestones across your week to get that done? And so what's your top 3? If you don't have top 3 for today, you don't have capacity for that. What's the one thing you're going to get done today? And so it's eliminating the options, right? So you don't have decision fatigue. Most people get stuck because they have too many options and too many decisions. So we're not doing that. Let's focus on the one. And so what that does really quickly is it take women, right, who are all over the place. They want to focus on all of the things because we're multitaskers. And I'm like, oh, I'm good at this. I want to do this and that. And I was like, we're not going to do that. Okay. And then I will listen. If we work together for a long time, and it's outside of that quick little stint, I will listen to them and I'll get a better understanding of their past and what they've done. And I may offer them other suggestions because, again, I'm looking at human capital. For instance, I had a client who had years and years and years in the real estate space, and she wanted to pivot into something else. I said, but I think you should focus on this over here. You would do amazing as a coach or a consultant. I think you'll leave money on the table. She's like, oh, no, I don't know about that. 6 months later, she came back. She's like, girl, let me tell you, I decided to go over here and I'm learning so much and you were right. And I just looked at her and said, you know how much time you could have saved? And she's like, I know, but I got it now. And I'm like, But it's moments like that. It's like, okay. But at least she got it right. But for sure, it all, I think it's important to be clear on all of that because it helps you also be clear on how to serve the person that you're supposed to be serving.
Now that makes sense why you're a good business strategist, because you break down the clutter, you let them explain what you want, what they want to be, but then like, what's realistic now?
Yeah.
Let's look at black and white. That's where the data comes in there. That's where the analytical side comes in there.
For sure.
Let's look and see what's worked, what experience you have. And then you're not just putting a system behind somebody that doesn't work. Well, you actually tested, tried, and improved this system. Yeah. So with customer feedback, so I'm learning a lot about like hospitality. I read this book, it was called Unreasonable Hospitality. And they explain how you have to go to your competitors or different restaurants just to see what they are not doing. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I was like, huh, that's a different perspective. How do you know what people are not doing? Well, you pay attention. You're doing competitive research or research. You look at your competitors' website, see who they're serving, what language they're using, and then identify what they are not doing. How did you identify your competitive advantage while you're in business?
I think that came from my experience in the coaching space before I became a coach. And so one of the things I dislike a lot is there are a lot of people who they want to tell you the what without the how. And so they're just kind of throwing a bunch of information at you, but they're not telling you how to go off and execute. And when you do go off to try to execute, you're not really clear on what you're doing because all you have is a list. And it's like, is this the right list? Is this the right order, the right sequence? And that's probably, I'm very analytical anyway, but with Lean Six Sigma, a lot of that is observing the process so that you can find the bottlenecks, the holes, the gaps, so that you can streamline it, right? To make it more effective and more efficient. And so as I was going through these different programs, I think, one program I went through, amazing people, when I got, they gave us accountability partners and everybody was like, how are you getting this stuff done? Like, this doesn't make sense. A lot of them were not clear on what they were supposed to get in the program. And so they were dissatisfied from that perspective. But then because they weren't sure on how to execute, they were like, we need some help. Like, this is when they started saying, can you coach me? Can you mentor me? And I was like, I'm not set up for that. And I did. I went back to the program and I was like, hey, you guys, these people are saying these things. You should probably incorporate. And I gave them feedback. Like, you should probably incorporate surveys, tools, feedback, right? Strategy. And they were like, we don't have time for that. And I was like, okay. But it was like another one. And I'm not talking about like $1,000 program. This is $15,000 program here, $15,000 program here. And I went to another program, no structure, no itinerary. The meeting dates kept getting moved all over the place. You just didn't know what you was going to get. You just showed up and hoped for the best. And it was like, okay, I already spent my money. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm not going to have people experience me and walk away like this. When you walk away, you'll be clear. And so, yeah, for sure. And so it wasn't just about giving them the clarity, giving them the strategy, but then it was like, okay, well, now they need the coach piece. They need someone to hold them accountable. They need someone to encourage them. They need someone to kind of stand on the sidelines and cheer them on and share those wins, but also share those challenges with them. But that's not everywhere. I think I've only, run into one space so far who has all of that, like, they do all the things they're supposed to do when they said they're going to do it. But a lot of wasted money for sure. A lot of lessons learned. Yeah. And so that was like, okay, when I step into this space, I'm going to make sure I don't do those things. I'm going to make sure that someone experiences me. Not only am I getting feedback in the moment, consistent feedback, but I'm also saying, hey, what can make me better? How do you feel about this? What is your breakthrough? You know, what did you learn from this? And that's the difference for sure. So
your customer that you care about them because you always are asking how did we do it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You said wasted, a lot of money wasted. I did a presentation, a webinar a couple of weeks ago, and one of the attendees asked me, it was like, because I said I spent over $70,000 in the last half a decade trying to learn what I'm doing today. And one of the attendees asked, I was like, do you regret the amount of money you spent? I said, no, absolutely not. If I didn't spend it, I wouldn't learn what I needed to understand.
Yeah.
Now that I spent it and now that it's gone, it's like, well, what did I gain from that? Well, I understand business now. I understand the small details of a lot that what makes a lot of business successful. When I go to McDonald's and I'm asking for a McDouble and fries, if I go to one location and go to another one, it's literally the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way. So you said it, a mistake. He was like, lessons. How do you identify if it's a mistake and or a lesson?
I think the reason I say wasted / mistake is there's no clear return on investment. Does that make sense? Outside of the understanding of knowing what not to do. And so that is a lesson learned, at least for me. And so it's a measuring stick. When you go through something, even if it's not a good experience, you measure it by, like, what's the return on investment? How do you walk away from that and say, like you said, go into the restaurant and see what they're not doing? In this situation, it was going into a coaching program and seeing what they're not doing. It was like, we're not going to do that. and then I think, too, it was a mindset shift that had to happen for me, because the way that success is measured in this space is different. And so I think that's also why there is a trust recession in the coaching space, because so many people have said they were a coach and they don't have the business backing, the understanding, and they're just taking people's money. Like, I hear it all the time. And so I can only show up and be the best me, right? But there's a guarantee that you won't get that over here. Right. So for sure, I think, I don't know, the difference between a mistake and a lessons learned. I think every mistake should be a lessons learned, for sure.
When, as I was doing research, because you said it multiple times, the Six Sigma, well, the it's for a project management, right? Or
is that it's a separate discipline. You can use them together. Lean Six Sigma Black Belt is, like I said, you're going into, the best way to explain it is being able to go, if I was to come into your business and you said you want to streamline your processes, then I would come in and observe what you guys are doing and then show you how to make it more efficient and effective by removing bottlenecks, right? And so it is a system primarily of observation, but then of data. But then as you go back with another iteration, you're looking at, okay, we were doing this before. We found these to be our stop gaps. If we remove these issues, if we remove these different pieces, then we can move forward quicker. Like, it cuts the time, but it also makes it a better process. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Okay. It makes a lot of sense. The reason why it makes sense is because it's a system. And when you buy systems, you're buying steps, you're buying the process.
Yeah.
And you're not just trying to randomly do different things. You're literally saying, hey, this work over here, when we come into your business, mm-hmm. we're gonna look at certain things and look at all other businesses. And literally put things in and identify the bottleneck. So yes, that makes sense. And that's why. So I understand exactly what you're saying. So the reason why I just brought up the Six Sigma, what is it called? Hold on, I'll write it down. Six Sigma, Lean Six Sigma Black Belt. And then you have your project management with that. So what I was trying to, hold on. You have the business coach or strategist, Lean Six Sigma Black Belt certified in project management professionally. BMP.
Yeah.
Which, what I'm getting back to, you said a lot of people don't have the backing or the education and experience behind that. Whereas when you test a lot of different things and collect data, you are literally putting the system together. And when you put the system together, you have to constantly iterate. You mentioned earlier about pivoting. How are you pivoting now due to the fact you already have the systems, you already have the process, you already have the business, you have customers coming in? How are you pivoting now, although you have a success? Although you already have some success.
Pivoting for me, I think is, well, in a sense, I think I'm looking at, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Honestly, I'm looking at possibly doing in-person stuff. So right now, everything for me is location independent, meaning I can pack up my laptop, my cell phone, get on a plane, be across the world, and it is what it is. But with AI saturating the space and people all sounding the same, everyone is leaning more towards human touch and in person and human, you know, that whole thing that you can't get from robots or computers. And so I'm actually looking at pivoting into actually considering doing some in-person events. One of my current coach, he teaches entrepreneurs how to speak to sell. And so there's the speaking piece, which I've never thought to do. Considering that too, somebody asked me would I be open to speak, and I'm like, I never considered that before. Speak in boardrooms, I've spoken in church before, but never thought about speaking from a business perspective. So those are things that I'm exploring, not necessarily as a pivot per se, but just another component of business for sure.
And the reason why I asked that question like that is because I was in my last business program, and they've been in business for 20 something years, and they was in sales. It was a business program here in Temple. It's called Action Zone. And they literally said that they was updating the product description, but they had to change it because one of their top selling ones, it got like something happened to the point where they had to remove it. So now I was like, wait, hold on. It doesn't matter what phase of entrepreneurship journey that you're in, you're going to always have to pivot, change, and update different things that you're doing. But when I heard that, I was like, everyone is on their own journey, and every day you have to pivot. And you mentioned something about speaking from selling. If you really think about it, this is a form of speaking of selling. I get it, like, not in person. However, it translates.
It does.
Why I'm saying that is because I started in podcasts. Like, you have two books, but I have one. I started a podcast. I have a book. I have a documentary. I'm going to write my other book, and produce my other documentary. In addition to that, I start speaking on stage as well. So you're talking about a lot of things that a lot of people are struggling with. Not necessarily struggling with, but like, how do you go from online presence to in-person presence to really grow your business?
I'll go back to coaching again. I think it's important to seek out information, educate yourself. Don't be opposed to having a coach. If you get a coach, my coach is amazing, Marcus Y. Rosier. However, if you get a coach, look for transformation. Don't think about time and effort. Think about the transformation you're going to get, because any good coach will allow you to leverage their experience and their resources so that you can skip some of the process, if that makes any sense. Because in any business, you have to sell, and you can't sell without words. And people don't buy products, they buy people, and they pay for outcomes and solutions. And you have to understand that, right? I think what you were saying about that other company is something that gets lost on a lot of people, because they're like, I'm just going to do this one thing. And when times change, right? Like, I just talked about going from information age to the AI robotic age. And it's like, if you're not willing to pivot, then you become obsolete. Like, I can't even think of the name of the stores, the video stores that we used to have.
Blockbuster,
right? Because they didn't pivot, right? They could have been Netflix, but they didn't go that route. And so it's like, who is Blockbuster, right? But if you want to be relevant and you want to continue to be lucrative, then you have to show up in a way that your audience can relate to, for sure. So if you don't know, if you can't afford a coach, there's plenty of information online. Do your research, for sure. And I say go for it. And if you go for it, move quickly. Don't be afraid to change. Shift quickly. Fail fast.
What's that book? Failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. So
yeah.
We have one last segment, and it's called Best for Last. It's when I ask you four questions, and you answer them in 30 seconds.
Four questions in 30 seconds. Okay.
You know, it's a quick fire. So, question number one, what are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for? Life. I love sunsets. I love sunrises because they let me know I made it through another day and I made it to see another day for sure. Life, family, health, strength, like all of the things. I'm blessed. So, yeah.
Okay. Question number two. Do you have any regrets?
No, no regrets. None at all. I think life is to be lived. And I think we learn from our mistakes. And I think that's a part of what goes in our toolbox for sure. I think pain, I have a friend that says pain is the best teacher. I say all the time. He says it all the time. I don't say it all the time. But I think I can relate to that, that some of my best lessons were taught through pain. And then it taught me not to go that way again.
Okay. Question number three. What is your biggest takeaway while working at Shonda Co?
Biggest takeaway at Shonda Co is... something I adopted, a slogan I adopted in my nonprofit space is be the change. And I think in a world where there's so much negativity and it's easy to find something to be angry about, that there's also so much that you can find to be excited about, and it's pouring into other people. Like I said, people get in those aha moments, those breakthroughs, going from not sounding sure to being excited about the way their life is showing up is, to me, it's being a change. Like, I was a part of that process. And so I love that.
Okay. And question number four, last question. What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Failure is knowledge means to me, like we just talked about, those quiet wins through lessons learned, right? You fail fast and you're quicker to get to success. And sometimes it's those failures that give you the, not necessarily the confidence, but the courage to pivot into the thing that you're supposed to be in anyway.
Wow, this was incredible. I definitely learned a lot. How can people learn about you? How can they learn more about your business? And how can they connect with you?
My website is chanda-co.com. chanda-co.com, and social media is chanda_co, and I would love to connect. But thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. This has been great. What I'm starting to do is close with a ending quote, and I'll start it, and then you might finish it.
Sure.
So the quote that I'm going to start leave off with is, you're one failure away from changing your life, but don't let that failure ruin your life. Because you can always learn.
And I would say, you only live once, so don't be afraid to start again.
Shonda.
Charles.
I appreciate you for coming on to the Phrase Knowledge podcast again. What was your biggest takeaway of being on the podcast?
My biggest takeaway, thank you, Terrell, for having me so much. It's been my pleasure. But my biggest takeaway from failure is knowledge. It's just a reminder that failure isn't failure because it is knowledge. We should look at every failure as a lesson learned of things we shouldn't do and different ways that we should go so that we can get to the success that we deserve to have, for sure.
Okay, I appreciate that. And the last question, for someone that's hesitant to come on to the Phrase Knowledge podcast, what is one piece of advice that you can give?
There's nothing to be afraid of. This is a great platform, great information, great exchange and conversation. So do yourself a favor and join the podcast.